Amen. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, Paul started us going through 1 John, those who weren't here, and that song came to mind because we were talking about face-to-face. God calls us into fellowship, heart-to-heart, face-to-face, face-to-face with love himself. Amen. So I presume we're going to carry on in 1 John. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we bless you that you have called us into fellowship with your Son. Amen. And Lord, we want to live there more and more. Even now, as we come and gather and open your word together, Lord, Amen. Let there be real fellowship in our hearts with you and with one another. Lord, we pray for Paul as he opens the scriptures to us. Lord, may his heart be encouraged. May he have freedom Amen. And liberty. And Lord, may we know that you're speaking through your servant, through our brother. So bless him, encourage him, and encourage us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
Bless you. We run a Christians Against Poverty job club. And, you know, one of the things we do is we get help people with their CVs. And a guy that runs another job club has done a lot of research about AI, artificial intelligence, and the way it can help you when you're developing a CV. And it's great. You can put a job description into AI alongside a person's CV, and it will point out all the ways in which the CV can be improved. You know, it's quite a powerful tool. But, you know, with AI, you have to be careful because things go wrong. I remember a little while ago, I don't know how someone found it. Someone had done an appraisal of River Church based on the website. And it sounded so genuine. You know, it was saying, oh, but, you know, they do this, and they do that. But the only thing that gave it away was it kept saying, this is interesting. And it was though it came over with the attitude of, well, you know, a human wouldn't have kept saying that same thing. So you sort of twigged that if something wasn't quite genuine. But, you know, we live in a world where there is a lot of fake about. And with AI, there is a lot of fake. And how you work it and how do you discern what's true and what's not? That's a challenge, isn't it? And when I've been looking at the book of 1 John, I realized that John wanted us, or wanted the believers, and it's a book aimed at believers, really, to know what was true and what wasn't about their faith. And I believe that by looking at 1 John, we can start to see some of the things which come out as untrue. I've called it fakery. You know, my 4 points, I've got 4, you know, 4, they're all things about 1 John. So we had fellowship last night, and today, this morning, we're on to fakery. And that's a right word. Is that a right word?
It doesn't matter. We have made
that
word here.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. Yeah.
Let's go on.
I'm still getting over the creatorial activity of the Holy Ghost from Dave Weatherly, but we were constantly hearing that in our days in Eltham. Anyway, so we're going to look at, I'm going to start with chapter 2 and verse 4. It says this: he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So John doesn't mince his words, does he? And you know, there are people that say, I know him. But something in you says, there's something not right about them. And because it says that we keep his commandments, and our his commandments are not burdensome. And we recognize that, why aren't they burdensome? Why is it not difficult to do what God says? Because as we've been hearing this morning, he's given us of his spirit that we might be able to do them. And that's the truth. So when he says things, we know that by the spirit, we can do them. And that's very encouraging, isn't it? But of course, we have an enemy who wants to deceive us. And indeed, we at times deceive ourselves. And so you can deceive yourself to thinking that everything's right and you're right, but you're not. And we buy into that at times. So John sets us some tests, how we might know that whether we're right or not. Verse chapter 2, verse 9 to 11 says, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother, he is in darkness until now." This is an acid test that John's put laying down. "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So, do you love your brother? If not, you're a fake Christian. Not to say that you're not a Christian, but you're really not living in the truth that God's, the truth of God. You're not living by the power of the Holy Spirit, but maybe living by your own understanding. You know, there are many Christians who promote values, but do they love? That's the question. Later on in chapter 2, it says this, verse 18, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it's the last hour. There are Antichrists now. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us." You know, people talk the talk. They say the right Christian things, but are they really living in the power of the Spirit? And I know I can think back to through my own life, Christian. There are people that walk with me for a while, and then they stop walking with you. They seem to go back. I had certainly had that in church leadership, people that were with me, and they seem to be all keen, and then they suddenly not. And you realize that if God's in someone, they'll stick with you unless God's called them on. You know, but so many people they don't like something, so they leave. They stop walking back. And you know, scripture says, are they really loving? Well, I don't think they are, because they're in it for something else. They've got hold of something else that's not really what God wants. Maybe they're people enamored with certain doctrines, you know, and they seem okay. But as soon as you know, you don't go along with their particular doctrine that they like, they pull back. And we've got to see that, you know, and these sort of things, maybe an over interest in a particular issue. You know, I think that at the moment, you know, I think sometimes people get over interested about Israel, and they say, oh, you know, you've got to believe this, otherwise you're not really of the Lord or something. And we've got to be careful that we don't get into issues. Issues will take us away from God if we're not careful. You know, yeah, there are issues to be faced. There are issues to be looked at. I'm not saying that. But, you know, the important thing is fellowship with God and loving one another, being in fellowship with one another, like we were saying last night. And, you know, there's all sorts of things we could emphasize about this. People go overboard about mission or about evangelism or something. It becomes the big thing. This is my thing. Or church planting, that's my thing. And you think God doesn't want things. He gives us things to do. But really the important thing is, are we in fellowship with him? Are we walking with him? Are we walking in love with our brothers and sisters? Is that where our priority is? Or is it that it's our thing has taken over? And I know we're human. It's so easy to do, so easy to get sidetracked by issues rather than just keep walking with the Lord, which at times can be a bit uninteresting. Might be, you know, or we just go to work or whatever. We We just do what we've got to do. But I realize that a lot of the time that's all the Lord requires, just to walk with him, just to show that love to others. And it's not very exciting. I suppose that's what happens with people, is that they come, they find the Lord, maybe the Lord does a great work in their life, and then, it gets back to being ordinary. And then the question is, will they walk with him when it's ordinary? And we've got to see that that's what God calls us to do. Keep walking, keep going when things are not so interesting. Jesus met people where they're at. But if you wanted to carry on with Jesus, you had to walk with him. You had to go with him and just go and face things which you didn't understand, like we're hearing this morning, where Jesus is saying stuff. And you're thinking, I don't get this at all. It doesn't seem to make sense. Why is God asking me to do this? I would remember when I was, I'd been in Eltham a number of years, and I suppose in my heart I had aspirations to go into ministry, but I didn't know, have a clue how it would ever happen. But, and I remember I was a building site manager, and I got put on this job of building a school playing field. It was a big area, and we had to bring in a lot of soil and that, and create a school playing field. And they'd had someone on the job who was a bit of a crook, and he'd had people coming on to the and dumping stuff that shouldn't have been dumped on there, stuff creating lots of rocks and stuff, and it was meant to be nice, reasonable soil. So anyway, this guy was taking backhand, as you see, so they got rid of him. They put me on the job. And we had the job of clearing up the mess, so to speak. I remember it was a cold February afternoon, and I was out, and I just had just three or four men, I think, on the site, and we had to go through and pick out anything bigger than about half a brick out of the school playing field. And that's what I was doing on this cold February afternoon. And I thought to myself, what on earth am I doing this for? I've got a degree. I want to go in the ministry. And here am I picking bricks out of a field. And, but that's what you're called to do at times. And that's what I was called to do at that time. And, for whatever reason, part of my development and training, character and all that. But God was with me in that. And we got to see that God's with us in those times when it doesn't seem very interesting and not very exciting. But the important thing is, are we walking with him through it? Is our hearts clear with him in the midst of it? So it says that verse 23 of chapter 2 says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. We've got to see this goal is fellowship with the Father and the Son. Not an issue that we've got to espouse, not an ambition that we've got to fulfill, but a walk with God in that fellowship. And that's what John, this apostle who was close to Jesus, close as any of them to Jesus, what he realized it was about. And he didn't want people just going off at a tangent. So the question is, how do we know, in a sense, whether something's right or wrong? Well, it says in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. How do you tell the false? Well, it's by the anointing of the Spirit within you. Are we living by the anointing of the Spirit of God within us? Or are we living by what we think? Because I know that what I think at times is completely up the wall, and the way I look at things. But I know that what I have to do is to come back and say, Lord, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about this? A lot of I retired being a pastor. I've gone back to the church, which I helped establish. And, you know, my son is the pastor now, Tim, that you, a lot of you will know. And at times they do things, and I think, I don't agree with that. And, you know, but what do you do? What do you do? You can say, oh, you know, I wouldn't do it like this. You ought to be doing this, that, and the other. Is that what God, Jesus, is saying? I don't think he is. I think he's saying, just abide. Yeah, if it's really something you can't put up with, then say, then do, you know, jump up and down. But really, a lot of it is just, that's the way they do things. And that God's, they're walking with the Lord. You've got to encourage them to walk with the Lord in it. What's God saying? And God doesn't tell me to go and, you know, jump up and down. He tells me to walk and abide with the brothers and encourage them and help them in the way. But what do we know? We've got to listen to what's inside us. What's God saying inside us? You've got to listen to, we used to have the word, your knower. You've all, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got a knower, something in your heart which says yes. And know, or maybe you face something, you say, that's really not, I'm not happy about that. And you might have to say something. But the important thing is, are you listening to the Holy Spirit within? Or are you just listening to your own ideas, which could be right, could be wrong? You know, you sense things not right, but you can't put your finger on it. But you, what you're going to do, you're going to listen to God. So in this walking with this Lord, this fellowship with the Lord, is because we hear what the Holy Spirit's saying and we move in that, and don't try and work it out for ourselves. So we abide with him. You know, people can love you and it can be fake. That may shock you, but it can be. Yeah, because you know love, if you're loved, you feel vulnerable. Someone loves you, you think, oh, they love me. And I want to be loved. I'm sure you want to be loved. And it's easy to get conned when you're loved. But you know, that's where we need to walk with the Lord. Because there are times when people might love us and might shower love with us, but really their hearts are not right with the Lord. And they're not really moving with the Lord. And we can get taken off course because we responded to love rather than responded to the Holy Spirit within us. And we've got to learn to live by that Spirit within us. So we're not people that are, so we're people who are looking to Jesus, and not just people that are moving in what seems good for us, but what is he saying? And that's the way we avoid this fakery. You know, I heard it once said that the reason God had given the gifts of the Holy Spirit was the fact that love is so vulnerable. A real church is so open to be love that it would be open to people coming in and taking it off. And the way we need to be listening to, as a body, we need to be listening to the Lord. What's the Lord saying? And that's why we need the gifts of the Spirit in our midst. And it's a sad when they're not operating as well as they have done previously, maybe. Certainly I'd say, I'd observe that. We don't hear that clear prophetic word as we used to in our church gatherings. And I speak about where I'm involved with as much as anywhere. But we've got to, we need one another. If we're going to avoid getting caught up with fakery, we've got to hear what God is saying. And that isn't just, yeah, it's what God's saying in your own heart, but it's what God's saying in the body of people. And that can be our protection. Because one thing John's very clear is the fact that love, it should be the thing which governs our lives. The love of God. And we've got to listen to the Lord and his love and not just take it from someone else. It says this, in chapter 4 now, moving into chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Perhaps that's a false prophet, is it? You know, the devil has many spirits in this world, and they promote the world, and sometimes they end up in the church, and they speak through false prophets, people with strong opinions maybe, but do they minister love? Do they minister Jesus to you, these false prophets? You know, the world promotes fads. I'm sure flares will come back again soon. They haven't already done so. So Malcolm will be all right. But that's the world's faddish. Has idea, you know, the bright new ideas come in. And how can you tell whether they're of God or not? Well, you need, and sometimes people are, unfortunately, a wolf in sheep's clothing. They come in, they seem to promote great ideas. Everyone goes for them for a little while. But we've got to be people that listen to the Lord. And they may be of God, but we've got to listen. I can't say, you know, just because it's new, it doesn't mean it's wrong. You know what they say about change, don't you? Everyone's for change, and as long as everything stays the same. But the thing is that we're to be people that are up to date with the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, what are these fools? Have they come to love people? Is the love of God in people? Or are they just promoting their ideas? You know, I heard a story about an unbelieving army major. And he had a wife who wanted to go to a spiritist church. No, spiritist meeting. Here we go again. I think I've turned mine off. It's usually mine that goes off. Yeah, I have turned it off. That's good. Okay, yeah, about an army major. And he had a wife. He was unbelieving. And he had a wife that wanted to go to a spiritist meeting. So he went to a Christian friend and he said, "My wife wants to go to this spiritist meeting. What should I do?" And he said, "If they ask this medium, whatever it was, has Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" And he said, "All right then." So he went along to this spiritist meeting, and there were all sorts of things being said, things which they couldn't be known naturally. You know, there was obviously this person was a medium and was channeling certain thoughts from the evil one, and certain revelations. And anyway, so she says, "Well, you know, does anyone got anything you want to ask the spirit?" So he says, "I've got a question." He says, "All right then." He says, "Has Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" And apparently the medium exploded and all sorts of obscenities came out of her mouth, and the whole meeting cleared just because she said that, just because he asked that question. And you realize that's the power of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ. And we've got to see that, you know, the one thing that the devil can't really fake is humility. Because generally, if you've got some, humility is something that is clear. You know, if someone's trying to put on humility, it's obvious they're not humble. You know, that great character, what is it, in David Copperfield, Uriah Heep. You know, "I'm ever so humble, ever so humble." It was obvious he was just a manipulator and seeking his own benefit. And, you know, is this person moving in humility, the humility of the Lord? Are they humble? Are they prepared to listen? Or are they just got full of their own ideas and leading us astray? You know, test whether I'm speaking the truth this morning. You know, go to the Lord. Don't say, just assume everything I'm saying's right. You know, go and ask the Lord. Is that what Paul Cross is saying? Is it right? If it's not, I won't listen to it. That's fair enough, isn't it? You know, false prophets take you off into thing or religious concept. You know, I confess that as a church leader, there were times when we was when it was the church was struggling, and someone had come along and say, "Oh, you know, try this worldly idea." You know, I remember someone saying to me, "You know, make your church meeting Sunday meeting the shop window, you know, to show off what you're like." And so I tried to make out to jazz up our Sunday morning meeting and make it more sort of user-friendly, seeker-friendly, and it didn't work, I'm glad to say. God never did that. God didn't bless me in that. He didn't bless us in that. But it's easy to get, I tell you, when you want to see God do things and someone comes along and says, this is the new great idea, it's easy to get conned into it. It's easy to follow it. It certainly was for me anyway. And you have to be careful, because you know, God was very gracious and it didn't cause us any real damage, but it could have done. It could have taken things right off and undone what God was really doing. So you've got to be careful what you listen to and what you receive. You know, false prophets don't listen, they just speak. And that's a great thing. Is this person, are they listening to you? Or are they just telling you what their great new idea is? And so listen. It says this in verse 4 of chapter 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. I like the way John says, little children. Children can discern it. I know he's talking to the spiritually young people, you know, not necessarily young by age, but young in faith. But he says this, young children can discern what is of God. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in you is greater than those ideas that are being peddled that you're listening to. But what's God saying? What's your Noah saying within you? And he goes on to say this in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Mark will tell you what that means. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Ultimately, the test is, do we love others? Does it produce that love for us in others? Not just in word, but in deed. I'm going to tell you about another friend of mine. You know, I was talking about one friend last night. A lot of you will know him, Larry Bain. Larry was almost my best friend. You know, he had a massive heart attack about 2.5 years ago and went to be with the Lord. And the great thing I loved about Larry was that he always wanted to be with me. I loved that. You know, when we were at conferences or retreats where we would meet, you know, he was a vicar. By this time, he was originally from the fellowships, but he was a vicar. And he'd come, he loved to be with the guys in the MLG, and he was a great friend to me, because I say he, and that. And I thought, that's love, isn't it? When you want to be with someone, that's what love is, really. It's not just doing a job. You know, sometimes love gets confused with care. Care is great. It's only an aspect of love. Yeah, if you love someone, you do care. But you know, really, if you love someone, you say, I want to be with you. You know, I want to be with you, Malcolm. You know, I just want to be with you because that's my heart. And maybe I can't because, you know, distance or whatever. But I love people that just want to be with me because I know they're the people that really love me. And so, you know, Jesus wants to be with us. This is the point. Jesus wants to be with us because he loves us. And nobody's going to be able to say to Jesus, you rejected me. No one's ever going to say that about Jesus. You rejected me. Because he wants to be with us. And that's wonderful, isn't it? That's why he came to earth. So he could be with us. And ultimately, yes, he cared for us. And he, by dying for us, he cared for us. And saved us. But really, it's because he died for us so that we could be with him. And that's a great, you read that about the disciples. You know, you think about the disciples, these were the men that were going out, you know, to create, to form the church and going to be the great leaders in the world. Maybe in the world that would be how it was put up. But it says in, I think it's Mark's gospel, it says he chose these to be with him. That was the first call of the disciples to be with him. Because I think that was his heart. You know, that's the first heart of love. I often say this, and forgive me if you've heard me say this before, but one of the most staggering things in Scripture for me is that Jesus' reputation was the friend of sinners. Just think, this is the Son of God. And when he talked about sinners, he was talking about prostitutes. He was talking about tax collectors, which were probably like the drug dealers of their day. You know, they were the people that were ripping all the people off. And yet his reputation amongst it was he was their friend. Isn't that amazing? Well, I always think that's amazing. I think that's staggering, you know, being from a Christian background, you know, having grown up in the church. Jesus was their friend. Well, that's love, isn't it? That's love. It wasn't because he put it on and tried to care for them, you know, took pity on them or something, and you know, wanted to help them with their addictions or something like that. It wasn't anything like that. It was that he loved to be with them. Amazing. Well, I think it is that Jesus loves us like that. He wants to be with me, although I'm a screw up at times. Doesn't matter. He loves me. And that's a tremendous truth. And this is the truth that if we're really moving with the Lord, that will be what he's producing in us, that love for others. Yeah, we're not able to love everyone, that's true. But we can love the ones God's given us. Are you loving the people God's given you? Are you loving the people in the church? Are you loving them? You want to be with them? You know, you don't say, oh, well, yeah, I go to church, but, you know, I go and I say hello to people, I'm nice to people, and I'm glad when I get out of there. That's not loving. God needs to do a deeper work in you if that's how you find church. Just somewhere you have to go, you know, because you get fed or something. Well, we don't just want to get fed. We want to be people that love. And that's what John is trying to emphasize here. The people of God are people who love genuinely because God has done a work in their hearts. And this is wonderful. You know, there may be people that run, you know, like he was saying earlier, people that they went from us because they were not of us, because they didn't really want to live in this atmosphere of love. But that's what the Lord does in you. You know, I'm a big introvert, really. But I found over the years that God has made me less of an introvert. And we went up to Trago yesterday, and I was sitting down and I was just enjoying watching the people. Yeah. You know, you might enjoy going and watching mountains and lovely, you know, rivers and everything. But I like watching people. How weird is that? But I think it's because God's put love in my heart. I think I want to connect with the people. Yeah. I love to be with the people, whether they're of God, particularly the people of God, I guess. But God's done that. And I think that's because I've walked with the Lord. I haven't got sidetracked into, oh, you know, this is, you know, I must give myself to this or that or the other. I want to give myself to God and then to people. I think that's what he's done in me. You know, we mustn't get frightened. You know, if you've got the love of God in your heart, you're not frightened about getting contaminated. Now, I know you've got to be wise at times, you know, don't go somewhere where you're really, you know, not suited to go. You know, listen to the Lord. Again, it's not just formula. We so easily get sucked into formulas. Oh, well, if we love, we will do this. It's not like that. Love is that spontaneous, comes from the Lord in our hearts for people. But we mustn't get frightened about being contaminated. I think we were when we were younger, weren't we, Christine? Yeah, we were frightened to associate with certain people in case it offended, it upset our holiness or something. And you realise that love overcomes these things. If you love, you find a way to connect, if that's what God's put in your heart. And this is the genuineness of your faith, really, is that that's what you'll be able to do. And you receive it as you're in fellowship with him by the Spirit. That love, he puts it there and you say, yeah, I love to be here. This is what God's called me to do, you know. You know, there was, when we went to St. Paul's Cray, where we're back now, 32 years ago, you know, it was just a couple of dysfunctional families and a number of old people. And, you know, there was nothing there, really. I took my family, my young boys, into that situation. But there was something that I loved to be there. I loved the area. God did it. And we just fell in.